Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Today we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany, which falls on the 6th of January. And if you note, today is the 7th. But this year, the feast of the Epiphany has been transferred to the closest Sunday, which is today. So I checked the calendar. Next year, Epiphany will fall on Monday. Not Sunday, but Monday, and it will be celebrated, hopefully here at Wheat Ridge, on the day, so that the congregation can celebrate Epiphany with the Gentile potluck, which is otherwise known as Bacon Fest. The word epiphany comes from a Greek word that means to appear, give light, or reveal, to make manifest. It's easy to see how the opening words of the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 60 fits in this epiphany theme. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The light of Christ is revealed to the nations. Now, as we reflect on the words of Matthew describing the visit of the Magi, it's interesting that a word pops up that's kind of an awkward word. In verse 1, and it comes up in verse 9 as well, and that word is behold. Now, to our ears, that word seems to be really not necessary to tell the narrative. And in fact, I checked a couple translations, and they've dropped the word behold altogether. But why would Matthew put this word behold in his text? While we may think that this is an awkward word placed here, not necessary, it seems that Matthew here is trying to point out that something very special is happening. And so we might rephrase that opening verse to read something like this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, would you look at this? Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Matthew is telling us that this is no ordinary event. And what is so astounding here is that magi, sometimes we call them wise men, but in the text it's magi, they have come from the east searching for the king of the Jews. Now, this whole subject of wise men and magi is a bit mysterious, and there's all sorts of traditions about them. How many were there? Three? How many gifts there were? Where they came from? We can only conclude that their own wisdom did not bring them to Judea, but it was the word of God and the miracle of God, that star that led them to the Christ child. Another astounding fact in here is that these magi were foreigners, they were Gentiles, and they were the ones who came to King Herod and asked, "Where is this king?" And then Herod, not knowing the answer, went to the chief priests and scribes, who dug around and found that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Just amazing that these scribes and Pharisees, these scribes and priests came up with this fact, yet 30 years later, they didn't know who Jesus was at all. So we have a couple random events here. No. We go back to that word, behold. Behold, would you look at what God is doing? He is rending the heavens and is coming down in a miraculous fashion. God's plan to bring salvation to the world is coming to fruition in Bethlehem. Now, the Magi were Gentiles, and it seems that they were trained in the magical arts and supernatural powers. And in this capacity, they were advisors to pagan kings. Magi, and that's the same word that we get the word magic from, magician. So they looked to the stars. They looked to the planets for signs of what they should advise their pagan kings. But these men were still sinners, just like us, dead in their trespasses and sins. But God intervened in their lives to show them that true wisdom comes not from the stars or the planets, but true wisdom comes from God. And God miraculously revealed to them the newborn Savior. What that means for us is that without God intervening on our behalf and revealing his promises to us, we would be forced to look elsewhere for hope and salvation. And we know that that's just a dead-end road. But unfortunately, in our world, that's a very popular road to go down. It's very natural for us to be like the Magi, to look to the heavens for signs in the stars and or wonders in the supernatural and developed our own gods and our own gospel. It's easy for us to behold, look what a good thing I have done. It's easy for us to slide into that looking to our own good works, thinking that somehow our works will some way, somehow earn for us the blessing of eternal life and blessings in this life as well. It's easy for us to behold, to look what the world has done. It's easy for us to go along with the wisdom of the world that seeks independence from God and to follow idols of our day, autonomy, our own personal happiness, fulfillment. Apart from Jesus breaking into our lives with the saving gospel, left to our own devices, our own pet idols, we are left empty of hope. And we are most to be pitied, walking in darkness. But our Father in heaven does not let us walk in the darkness of sin. As Isaiah the prophet wrote, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. That light is the light of Christ. For in Christ, God has rent the heavens asunder and has come down to redeem mankind from the darkness of sin and death. Behold, God is doing a new thing. Behold, God in Christ has brought life and joy to the world. For these Gentile magi, God used the star to bring them to the Son of God. Through the miracle of the star, God revealed to them the Savior of the nations. But God is always revealing his hope and his promises. When Adam and Eve sinned, the promise of the Savior was revealed to them. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Here was God giving hope and forgiveness, even as Adam and Eve struggled with a broken world. Behold, look what God has done and continues to do for you. God has sent his Holy Spirit to reveal to you that Jesus is the Christ, your Savior from sin, death, and the power of Satan. Behold, look what God is doing. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the same word, but a different author. This comes from John. But the same word is there. Behold. Behold, look what God has done for you. He has sent his Son to be the sacrificial lamb, to become sin for you. Behold, look what God has done for you. At your baptism, saving faith was given to you, and you were connected to Christ, to his death and his resurrection. His forgiveness was made part of your life. Behold, look what God continues to do. In the Lord's Supper, the very body and blood of Christ is given to you for the forgiveness of your sins. Through this holy meal, he strengthens your faith with the forgiveness that Christ earned on the cross and sends you back home into your lives, into your vocations with his peace. Behold, look what Christ's death on the cross has done for you. Because of Jesus, you stand justified before God. When you hear the pastor speak those words of forgiveness in the absolution, it is as though Jesus himself is speaking those words to you. You are forgiven. Behold, look and hear what God has revealed to you. God has revealed to you his salvation through the forgiveness of your sins. Behold, he has delivered this gift to you today. Life and salvation is yours today. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In the name of Jesus, amen.